Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. When Symphony NC and Astral were presenting a program called Barber and Beyond, I sat down with some of the artists involved. We talked about Barber's legacy and the musical vitality of the Philadelphia area. First, each person introduced himself.
Hi, my name is Tilian Kirov, and I'm the music director of Symphony NC and conductor for this program.
I'm Henry Kramer, a pianist with Astral Artists, and I will be performing Melinda Wagner's Extremity of Sky on the program.
My name is Benito Mesa. I'm a clarinetist with Astral Artists, and I will be performing Amaya's Clarinet Concerto.
Hi, my name is Nikki Chewy. I am a violinist with Astral Artists, and I'll be playing Barber's Violin Concerto.
Hi, my name is Michael Jobstrom, and I'm one of the other composers on the program.
Great. Stillian, can you talk about this program? What's the significance of calling it Barber and Beyond?
It's a program really that is a tribute to Philadelphia-based composers. It's also a program that is extremely diverse in the same time. Samuel Barber is really probably the most well-known composer from Philadelphia area these days. And this is why we thought that obviously, you know, the Barber Violin Concerto is pretty much a central piece in the program. However, there are many other composers here because we have a very rich heritage of classical music here in Philadelphia. And this is the reason why we wanted to call it And Beyond, because this tradition that doesn't necessarily start with Barber, but was very much, Barber was a big highlight of Philadelphia composers. We think that this continues, and we have some really talented composers here in the area that we would like to highlight as well.
Now, Nikki, you're playing the Violin Concerto by Barber.
Yes, I am.
That's a piece with a very interesting history.
Mm-hmm, yes. I mean, I guess if you think of Barber, Philadelphia, Curtis is always a huge part of it. That was my alma mater, and I guess myself along with Michael here are alumni from the Curtis Institute of Music. We were just actually talking earlier, you know, when we were at Curtis, there's the feeling of Barber just having a presence there, you know. I think he graduated maybe like 90, 95 years ago or something, but it's just, he's had such a profound influence towards Curtis and the city of Philadelphia as well. So it's really a privilege to be playing this this work in this program, you know, in Philadelphia.
The pieces are very different. You probably have the best sense, Stillian, of the whole. Do you see any commonality between them?
No.
But I think that's good. No.
I think it's right. Good, yeah.
I think that's a positive thing, of course, because it's the diversity in this concert is also something that brings the excitement higher.
Was there something about Philadelphia that created a sense of place that would foster any sort of musical tradition? Even if the tradition is one of being open to encouraging innovation. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Benito.
Okay.
Well, I think Philadelphia is a very important place. Why do I say that? Historically, you had Irish, I think Russian, and Italian immigrants coming here, and also German. And they were the ones who really made it happen for music here.
And then from there, I think these were, you know, the roots. I think that's the beauty of America, you know, because you get people from everywhere around the world and they feel at home here. You know, that's something that is very valuable. And when you said immigrants, there are some from Bulgaria as well now these days. You know? But if you think of it, this brings diversity. And I think from this point on, the classical music is building and building and building, and it becomes very individual. But as a composer, and I think Mike will agree with me, that's the opportunity of being free in what you create as an artist. I think it's really the most valuable thing that we have here in Philadelphia, but also throughout the United States, I can say. And that's very precious.
Well, it is interesting because Philadelphia historically, as you mentioned, is a city of immigrants and is founded on principles of religious liberty and being the birthplace of the nation, and it has that kind of ideological foundation in all other aspects of society. So musically as well, it sounds as if you're saying it also kind of nourishes that. I was thinking, you know, if you go to Curtis or if you're at Temple or if you're at any of these other schools, you have a musical community. Does Philadelphia, is there such a thing as a musical community after conservatory?
This is Henry here, and I'm sort of a Philadelphia outsider. Thanks to Astral, I have my ins here, but I went to school in New York. I didn't go to Curtis, but I do find in this city what is really wonderful is because it is smaller and Curtis is a small school, there's such a close network of people, and there are a lot of people from Curtis in Symphony NC. And so when I walked to the rehearsal yesterday, I saw many familiar faces. And every time I come here, it just feels like this. It's really nice. You always see people that you know. And the city also has just such great musical institutions. And I think what's interesting and exciting about this program is it's a lot of young people bringing music, more modern music, to life. And I think that is really important for our art form these days, is to make sure that we are playing new music and music that speaks to our time.
It's interesting also that Symphony in C and Astral Artists are both organizations that support young artists between school and other professional jobs and that they'll get in the future. You might think that, oh, well, people in that time of life need to learn everything about the traditional repertoire, which might be true, but also the idea that you're constantly exploring new music, it's a very exciting, important role for all of you to play.
Yes, absolutely. I think new music, we obviously, we love the traditional pieces and we grow up with this a lot as classically trained musicians. But ultimately, we need to look to the future and we need to look for the great compositions of the future, because this, of course, will become the standard repertoire. I think nowadays in many orchestras, in many different organizations, people talk about lack of younger audiences and difficulties in attracting new audiences. But interestingly enough, new music brings new audiences into the concert hall, or outside of the concert hall, but they bring it to the organization. I believe in performing new music in different settings, not necessarily always in the concert hall. And all this music that is of our time, of course, of a good artistic quality, you have to be careful about choosing it. It's extremely important for audience development and for us as artists to be pioneering it or promoting it or being ambassadors for it. So that's another reason why we're so excited about this program, I think.
Yeah, and this is Henry again. As a performer, I think it's a wonderful experience to play new music because you don't have the same kind of aesthetic pressure as when you go on stage to play a Beethoven sonata. You know there's so many people that came before you who have played this, and it's so much history behind it. There's this very solemn type of thing. But, you know, I'm only the second person to perform Extremity of Sky, and I feel like, you know, a cowboy, you know, out in the Wild West, just like marking my territory, you know. And it's exciting because you feel more liberated in a sense. And the music, I think the freshness that we feel playing new music helps us to imagine what it was like when, you know, these great works now that are so canonic in the repertoire, helps us put us in a different space when we approach them and not take things as for granted as we might have before. So I think I don't think there really is an either or when it comes to, oh, you need to play the classics and the new music. I think these days it's all one thing, and they need to be, there shouldn't be this distinction, because we've been so far outside of a common practice classical music language for so many years, and we have such a diversity of sounds and kind of music that we hear today that I don't think it's really acceptable excuse to say like, oh, I don't understand it or whatever. I think we're all living in this incredibly diverse, crazy world, and everything is interconnected and speaks to each other. And so I think the more we can get rid of this distinction of, oh, new music or old music, and just see everything as part of a big continuum, of like a big sea of this art.
And it's especially wonderful if you have composers you can work with and collaborate with. So Michael, as a composer, do you find yourself working with musicians as you compose, or do you compose it's kind of by yourself and then...
I think it's probably in three stages. In the beginning, for me personally, the reason why I write a piece is almost 100% of the time because of the performer or because of the performers who might do it in the future. Commissions tend to come from performers directly, and if it's not a commissioned piece from the performer's instigation, it's because I have usually thought, oh, I want to write a piece for someone. Actually, I wrote a piece once that Nikki premiered. He was playing a duo for violin and cello, and I had decided I wanted to write I had been commissioned to write a chamber piece, but I thought I want to write a duo for violin and cello because I know that I can write for Nikki, and I had decided that. So that's a perfect example. Often during the composition of the piece, I do most of the work by myself, but it's wonderful to have a performer on hand, because when you do have a question about, is this playable, is this practicable, or more simply, will this sound good, you can just, you know, call them up, or you can write them an email, or you can walk down the street if they happen to live in Philadelphia. And then at the end, of course, there's a lot of tweaking, and sometimes a lot more than just tweaking that happens when you go into rehearsal with a performer.
It's interesting, coming back to this program, the barber is at the very end. And do you think that after hearing the three new pieces, we listen to the barber a different way? Nikki?
First of all, I love how the barber is, quote unquote, the most traditional piece on the program. I mean, at the same time, you know, it's what, maybe for some people it's a 1 degree separation, because he was living till, I believe, the 80s. So it's very contemporary. But at the same time, it's the work that's been played most and has been heard most. I guess listening to it after, I think, the three newer works, I don't know, I'm actually quite interested to see what the audience is going to react to it. I mean, to see how the audience transitioned from each piece to the other, and then to the barber as the finale. Yeah.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.